Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions.
Yeah, occasionally.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight.
Constantly.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Thank you, John David Wells from the Wells Report. Always love to talk about that guy. The big voice guy of the What's Your Problem podcast. Check him out at thewellsreport.com or Wells Report on Facebook. This is a podcast that originates from the Big Dot HQ, the Big Dot Studios in Spring Hill, Tennessee. For anything lighting, electrical, and now heating and air, just go to bigdotinc.com. What's Your Problem is a podcast all about the issues and problems that Middle Tennessee business owners and professionals encounter on a daily basis. The fun part of the job is that you're always being kept up at night with something that's on your mind, typically. But it's fun. This is a video and audio podcast, so if you want to listen or watch, just check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with jimmccarthyvoiceovers.com. And today we're kind of having a very impromptu, spur-of-the-moment guest. I did a PA gig where you set up the speakers and kind of run music and make sure the speaker at this at a particular event has sound. Occasionally, I like to do that as part of my multitude of different talents. And this particular speaker came in from the Atlanta area. First time I had heard of him, and everything the dude was talking about jived with me. I mean, we couldn't be more parallel. So please welcome to the show, straight from, I'm going to say, it's outside of Atlanta.
I can't Alpha Damn Retta,
Georgia. this northern New York, Connecticut boy can put on a southern accent like nobody's business.
I love it.
Yeah. Mr. Steve Beecham, man, thanks for making the time, and I know you want to get back home.
You know, I was riding down the road, and you just yanked me off the side of the road and said, hey, dude, you got to come. I'm like, I'm stopping for gas. I can do it real quick.
You're wearing a wonderful blue shirt and really comfortable shoes. Get in here. So one thing that we do, and I told you about it before we went on, we do something called the Random Five, just to kind of get the energy going, get the creative juices flowing, all that fun stuff. I feel like I am just kind of rocking it right now. A Friday morning, you know,
it's awesome,
8 o'clock, first thing, I've got energy, man. The voice is in good condition, but we're going to kick off the Random Five.
But it's
right
9
now.
O'clock in Atlanta. We're already going.
I know. Random Five is brought to you by Kaleoka Company. Steve, if you had like a really stinky couch, right, and you've been trying for years to get the smell out of it, there is now a cleaner made by a good buddy of mine and a good friend of his and a good friend of mine, I'd say, that is probiotic based. And the probiotics like stinky stuff. They go after them. They eat them. And it rids you of all the smell. Check them out. Kaleoka Company. Links in the description. All right, here we go. Random Five. I got to start writing it down because I lose track of the questions because I was in radio and I can't count. Question one. What quirks do you have?
Quirks.
Yeah.
Chew tobacco.
Do you?
Yeah, I've been doing it since I was 12.
Since you're...
I tell people I'm a professional chewer.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not an amateur. I don't just do it part-time. I'm full-time.
Full-time chewer.
Full-time chewer.
And it's just kind of a, you just enjoy doing it, right?
I'm addicted. Mm. I don't know what I mean. It's just, it's who I, it's kind of become my personality.
I've actually, I was a smoker for a while.
Yeah?
Yeah, for about 15 years. And I'm like, we had the first kid and we're like, I just stop it, you know? And we dropped it.
Oh, my God, I've tried it. My dad's a shrink. He worked at the mental institution, the prison and the mental part. And I said, I think the only way I'm going to quit is you're going to have to put me in a padded cell for about a week.
Oh, really?
And he's like, I'm in.
Nice.
And then I backed out.
So question two, how do you think traveling a lot to a lot of different countries changes a person? Have you done that?
Oh, my God, yeah, I've done a lot of that. It's awesome. I think it tells you how similar we are.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the one-on-one interaction, I think we're very similar, and you don't really think about it that way.
Right.
Like, I just rode my motorcycle to Maine.
Nice.
And all
that's
my
like
life,
a different country,
well,
for sure.
All my life, I'd heard about how trashy the New Jersey shore was.
Right.
We take a boat. We come off a boat in Cape May, New Jersey. And we all, four Southern boys, and we went, oh, my God, this is the most beautiful place we've ever been. We were blown away. Yeah. We were blown away.
Depending on which part of New Jersey you go.
Well, we rode the whole coast. And we kept saying, this is so clean. This is so nice. This is so first class. And I don't know anything about the personalities, but it's like those are the experiences where I came back and I go, it's not what I thought it was, right?
Yeah. Well, I could throw shade on that part of the country because that's where I'm from. And back in mine, where I'm from, they say, if you want to kiss her where it smells, take her to New Jersey. That was the saying. Because New Jersey's got its own personality.
We loved it. Now, Atlantic City felt that way. But everything else didn't.
Never been to Atlantic City.
And then the other thing, you know, I find when I go to these other places is how fortunate we are.
Yeah.
We got so many people here that don't really know how fortunate they are.
Here in the country, at least.
Yeah, when our poor people got cell phones and cars, you know, I mean, we're doing pretty damn good.
And a job market that's burgeoning that nobody wants to work. But that's a whole separate subject.
Yeah.
Question three, what is something you think everyone should do at least once in their lives? It's a good one.
Go on an epic journey.
Epic journey traveling, right?
Do something epic.
Go to the Trail of Mordor.
That big, bodacious goal.
Yeah.
You know, plan it, think about it, and do it. You need something you can tell your grandkids about.
Yeah, absolutely. I
did this.
Yeah. We kind of did that with Vegas, moving to Vegas. We tell a lot of people. We have 4 years living out there. We have a lot of stories. What nicknames do you have for people in your life?
Oh, man, I got Style. He's my best buddy. Yeah, Style. He, you know, he always was dressed up and everything in school, so we called him Style.
Right.
Other than that, you know, I don't know. I guess I got him. I just think about him. I don't think about him as being different. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I can't come up with anybody.
There you go. Well, I mean, you got a couple of people.
But, I mean, I don't know. I can't remember what I call him.
All right. Final question. I've actually been keeping track. What will the economy of wealthy countries look like in 50 to 100 years? I guess we're talking about us. I guess we're considered a wealthy country.
I think once you get wealthy, you start going more socialistic, which is what's happening to us, and it begins the downfall.
There's an element of I always talk about the pendulum, right?
Yeah.
You familiar with the pendulum?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Familiar with it.
Back and forth, man.
I don't know. I'm a little worried this time it's not going to swing back.
You know? When people say, every 80 years this happens, I tell people. And they go, 80 years? I said, look, think about it. I said, 80 years ago was World War II.
Well, what do you think? Like, I think about what happens if you go, like, Rome and stuff, and you just don't come back.
Well, they're still around, so, you know, their empire fell, but there's a lot of theories that indicate that we're still a part of the Roman Empire.
Well,
it's just expanded in a different way.
That's a good point.
All right. The Random Five brought to you by Kalioka Company. We're going to take a quick break, come on back, and get into all things Steve Beauchamp. Be right back.
Ford once said that if you need a machine and don't buy it, then you will ultimately find that you have paid for it and don't have it. Nothing could be truer about energy-efficient LED lighting in your business. At Big Dot Lighting, we can show you how a portion of your savings from a commercial LED lighting upgrade will be paid for in hardly any time at all. Until then, you're paying for them anyway. Book a no-cost lighting energy assessment with Big Dot Lighting. At least 30% of your utility bill is waiting to be saved. Go to BigDotLighting.com.
All right, we are back. Getting ready to dig in with Steve Beauchamp. He is a three-time author. He's got three books on his website here. The Tapes We Play in Our Head. I can talk about that for hours. What's Your Buzz and Bass Ackward Business? I believe that was your first book, right?
It was.
Was it? So,
I had to write a two-pooper. Because my people are salespeople.
Exactly you know what I'm saying? About. Yeah.
And they're not going to read.
Right.
So it had to be quick.
So something real quick they could sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of, evacuations.
If your wife's hollering, you got to go, you know, you come back to it. But, you know, if you're on a plane ride, an hour and a half to Dallas or something, you can make it.
Nice. That's awesome. So what's your buzz? I mean, a lot of the things, when I was listening to you yesterday, immediately right off the bat, I had a lot of different things that I started taking notes on and highlighting And I'll kind of go through these. I'll tick through these as we talk about this. But before we get to that, tell me a little bit. You know, you had a lot of lives, a lot of careers. You were talking about that. You've tried different businesses. I don't know. I guess you failed at some.
Like
some
you.
Were just kind of, yeah. We all try different things until the one hits.
Right.
So talk a little bit about that. Where'd you begin?
Well, I started out working out of passion and moved into working out of profit.
Right.
And so, you know, I got into, I wanted to do the car business, went and sold cars for about 6 months and go, you know what? These dudes do lie. I can't do this.
Right.
Left that, went to the clothing business, worked for a big place for about a year or two, and then opened up my own store. Talked my dad into lending me the money, opened up my own store. My mom worked with me. I did that for 8 years, never made any money. Finally went out of business and then started going out of business for other people.
Right.
And made some money, but I was just burned out on the clothing business. And then I got into the recycling business and garbage business. And then I sold that to a partner, and then Earth Day came and he sold it, made a little money. So we were kind of early on in that.
Wow.
And then I got into the shutter business. A friend of mine was making plantation shutters, and I helped him expand around the Southeast and did that. And all of those things, I tell people, it's just the process of life. All those things taught me lessons.
Yes.
And then the mortgage business kind of showed up unexpectedly, and I got into the mortgage business because I thought I could make some money. I was married. I had a family coming, and I said, you know what? I got to kick into gear. My wife had a really good job, and I thought, I got to make more money than her. I can't let her make more money than me. I lose my man cards, you know, and that was driving me crazy. So anyway, I got in the mortgage business, and people were making big money like they are now in the mortgage business, and the next day, damn, like recession comes and it stops, and I'm there, and it takes me about 6 months to do a loan.
Right.
But eventually, it
turned around.
It just fit my personality, so it worked out really, really well.
So that the mortgage business, funny you mentioned the car business. I was in the car business for about 3 years. Yeah, you get some of the guys that don't exactly help the reputation of that business
right.
that it's so earned over the last four decades
right.
or so. But I mean, it is definitely a business that has drastically changed in the last 10 years. They are catching up with, look, you know, you just got to be transparent because people are going to find out anyway.
Right.
But that was a business I learned a ton.
Yeah.
A ton in,
yeah.
you know, just all the different ways of selling and all that stuff. I thought I was a good salesman prior to that. Then all of a sudden I had to depend on it for my living. Yeah, I sucked until, you know, I figured it out. So, but getting into the talk you did yesterday, because that's a part of your plethora of things. You've become an author. I always tell people, if you want to become a major personal brand, you got to do the author thing and write the book.
It's amazing.
Right. And then you got to get into that can lead to public speaking. And of course, if you got a platform that you've dominated and crushed it like you have, that always helps.
Well, I mean, you know, I did the book because, you know, I told the story yesterday. As I was going along, and I had about 10 or 15 employees, and we had a little, you know, medium-sized mortgage brokerage company, and there was some consolidation and some shift going on in the market, and all of a sudden I had like, you know, 20 or 30 new guys that left a bank and came over to me, and I went, whoa,
right.
I gotta start doing sales meetings, and I don't do radio ads, and I got to teach these guys what I'm doing. And I had really spent a lot of time trying to figure out, how do I get myself in a position where people call me?
Yeah. Person of interest.
Yeah. I wanted them to call me and say, hey, I need to do business with you. So-and-so told me to do business with you. And I just had been really had dived into that 100%. So, you know, when that happened, I kind of started making some notes on what I was going to talk about sales meeting. Long story short, I showed it to some other guys. They're like, dude, you need to write a book. I never thought about this stuff. That's kind of cool. So I kind of put together a white paper, if you will, and started presenting it to my people. And they started liking it. And then when the recession came in 2008-09, I said, you know, I got a little time on my hands. I'm going to write this book.
But, I mean, it seems like with your life leading up to where you were before the book, you had a lot of experience to pull from.
Yeah. I mean, I had become, you know, fairly successful in my sphere of influence for what I did, you know. And so in Atlanta, you know, I had one of the top mortgage brokerage companies actually in the state of Georgia, and was pretty much a top three or five producer personally and stuff. And so I felt like I had enough clout to where I could bring that to the street, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, you were talking a lot about yesterday what Gary Vaynerchuk talks about.
Yeah.
Is he teaches real estate people, mortgage people, be the mayor.
Yeah. You
know? Go out there and be the guy who tells everybody on Facebook what the weather's going to be. We got a guy here in town, Spring Hill, Steve Missal, who every day he's like, hey, good day today. You know, he's like a weatherman, meteorologist. And he just gets his name out there. Posts random stuff. We had a guy who was a realtor who's on one of my other podcasts, hosts it with them, the Talk of Music City Real Estate podcast, talkmusiccity.com. Check him out. And he used to post dad jokes every day.
Really?
Hilarious.
But that, it's that simple.
It is.
People don't really get that right. So my big saying to people is people can't spend money with you if they don't know you exist.
Right.
And then once they know you exist, then it's up to you to keep your name in front of them, right?
Of
out of sight, out of mind. Those are all normal things, but people don't act on.
Are you a Cardone guy? Have you listened to his stuff at all?
I have. I don't know. He's a little too car guys for me.
He's very I used to listen to him because my story was back in 2016. I lost my job. Mm-hmm. And it was the second time I had lost my job in 4 years. So I had gone into the car business after I lost my job. Actually, it was I got out of radio, had a job for 2.5 months in the collision business. That lasted 2 months. And, I went into the car business after that. Car business, I transferred to another business that it was okay. And it's funny because we actually use them here now. And a Big Dot, Magic Apple. And basically, I got out of that. It just wasn't a fit, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I had one paycheck to go. I had a mortgage. Family, the car insurance, the health insurance, car payments, all that stuff. And I'm like, I'm just going to start listening to good stuff. And he was one of the guys I listened to.
I don't think you go wrong with him. Yeah. I mean, I think he's saying the right things.
He is. Really. And it's that you're going to pull what you like and what jives with you from some of these guys. But I tell even my guy here who sells for us for Octave, dude, you got to listen to good stuff.
You do. And I really got into a phase there for a while where I was going back to read some of the classics, you know, Think and Grow Rich and things like that. And
How to Win Friends.
Yeah, and found some. They actually wrote a rewrite of How to Win Friends and what is it?
Influence People.
Yeah, Influence Carnegie. People. So there's a rewrite of that. It's called That in the Digital Age. And I'm actually in that book.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of the stuff you were talking, we're going to get into it. I mean, you talked a little bit about Bass Ackward's Business, which was your first book, Two Pooper, as you put it. Paint Better Pictures. One of the things I highlighted, you said, create an image that you can leave with someone. And I wrote, as a qualifier, what's your brand, right?
Want to say, when you see this, hey, friend of mine, when you see this picture, you see this stop sign, this Coca-Cola sign, this house, you know, when you see that, think of me.
Yeah.
And I think it's tremendous because we assume because we're in our business and we're doing it. It's kind of like you started a podcast, you know, and we were talking about really we're inside our business, not on the outside. I had a consultant one time in my clothing business and he came in and we talked for a few minutes and he said, come on, let's go out in the parking lot. We walk out in the parking lot, go out about 50 yards out from the store. And he says, why do I want to go in your store?
Yeah.
From right here, why do I want to go in? In other words, you're inside all day saying, why isn't somebody coming in? You need to be outside going, hey, what makes me want to go in that store?
Yeah.
And that was a game changer for me. And I never thought about that. So I started realizing that it's real clear in my mind what's going on and what I do, but it's not with everybody else. You're really clear about what's going on at Big Dot, but I'm not. So it's your job to get that to me.
That's right.
So when I see it, I go, I got to call my buddy.
That's right. And there's three things that we could talk about with Big Dot. Mainly, we're all about LED lighting.
That's so cool.
LED lighting. Check us out. Octavelighting.com. There we go. Always plugging. But I mean, to me, it's like what you're talking about goes back to my days in radio. I read a book called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing.
Awesome.
And if you ever heard of that, that's a great book.
Oh, yeah.
And essentially what you're saying is that if you can't be number one in a category, create a category to be number one in.
Well, that's the ultimate, right? Because,
right?
You know, I tell people like when I'm coaching them, I mean, if you win Salesman of the Week or Day or whatever, you want to tell people that. They don't remember that it was Salesman of the Week. All they remember is that you were a top salesman.
Right.
And so you've got to leave those messages. It's like I told a financial guy one time, I said, have you been on a trip? Have you qualified for a trip? And he says, yeah, I went on this trip. I said, how many people went on the trip? He said, 50. And I said, how many people in your company? He said, like 12,000. I said, so the top 1% went on, only 1% of the company went on this trip. He said, well, that's not necessarily true. It was 50 in my region, and you had to be this or that and that. And I'm like, but they don't know that.
Right. Don't answer questions.
Miss
no one's asking.
I can't see you next month on our regular appointment because I was fortunate enough. I won a trip. I mean, you know, it's only 1% of the company's going to France on this trip. And so now, little Miss Smith is, you know, you got her stock. She's back at her bridge game. She goes, well, I can't go see Johnny this week. He won a trip. He's top producer. He's going to France.
Right. Doesn't
that's
matter.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it matters, but you
it's
want
truth,
yeah.
But yeah. But it wasn't the whole truth. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it's funny. I have these conversations with business owners all the time. I had a conversation yesterday with one of our guys in BNI who does IT, and you know, I said, dude, how do you simply explain what you do? So you're at a networking event. Somebody meets you for the first time. What's your pitch? Six words or less, dude. He's like, oh my gosh, six. Well, yeah. I said, it's not up to me to figure out what you do. It's up to you to tell me. In a very basic way, how easy it is for me to understand. Right. Break it down like I'm a 4-year-old.
And that's so hard to do because he's in that bubble.
Sky talk. Yeah.
And he can't see outside.
Right. And that's I look at him like, dude, if your computer's broken, we fix it on your time.
Yeah.
That's it. Just start there. All right. And you know, if they want to continue
talking, you know that little thing on the bottom of the computer that's got sort of like a little fan, you know, when that thing goes where the fan's not working, you know, it doesn't, the little signals aren't working, call me.
When your computer pisses you off, think of me. That's what I want you to do. I mean, I had one guy, I tell this story a lot. When I started working for Magic Apple, I started networking with our other IT people because we were a phone system installation business. And I met this one guy at a First Friday, really nice guy. He was really interested in what we did because he could feel like he could bring us on and we could share referrals and things of that nature. So he started explaining to me what he does, and my eyes start glazing over. I'm going, I have no idea what you do.
God.
You know, maybe I just don't know enough about the industry. Let me bring you in, meet my guys. Maybe they can tell me what you do. So I bring him in. We all sit down. We meet for an hour. He leaves. I'm like, so? They're like, yeah, we have no idea either. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? So I'm out of the business. I'm in doing my own thing. I'm doing video. I'm doing, you know, podcasting at the time wasn't too hot, but I was ramping it up, still doing voiceover, and we were just planting the seeds for Big Dot, getting that going. So we were networking, doing our stuff. I see him. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I want to do one of your videos. Okay. And the videos I did were explainer videos for business people. So they would put them in their email signatures. I called them vidsigs. And they were shot against a white background, real, organic, authentic, and everything the way I did.
Wow.
And I still do them from time to time. But he goes, I want you to do one of my videos or a video for me the way you do it. And the way I did it is like what we're doing now. We talk. And I'll take the pieces of what your responses were and make a video out of them. Very real, conversational. So he... I'm going in my mind, oh, this is going to be awful. You know, I know you're passionate about what you do, but I have no idea what you do and how to explain it. So he gets to the house. I got everything set up. And I say, look, dude. He's like, did you go to my website? I said, yeah. That didn't help. I said, I have no idea what you do. I don't know what to ask. Explain it to me like I'm an idiot. Okay. Just break it down as simply as you can. And he did. And I said, okay, let me get this straight. You're like an agent, like a Hollywood talent agent. You've got the best of the best, the people who do the best cabling, computer repair, best telephony, best IT, you know, firewall. You have the best people in your grasp that you can recommend. And you're the guy to go to get the best people. You're like, I said, you ever watch Entourage? He goes, yeah. I said, you know Ari Gold? Yeah. You're the Ari Gold of the Nashville IT world. He goes,
oh, you know,
that's exactly what I do. I said, just run with that.
Awesome. Well, so, you know, I tell people, I used to tell them when my kids were younger, I'd say, hey, Colin, my son, he's 8. Explain it to Colin so that Colin can repeat it to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that would help him a little bit. But.
And the other thing you mentioned was the ask questions about other people. Ferocious curiosity.
It's huge. It's everything. And now I got my wife's into it. And now we go somewhere and we eat dinner with another couple or we spend time with somebody and we walk away and she goes, I got nothing out of that.
Yeah.
You know, it was all about them. We asked them a question. How you doing? How's the kids? And then for 45 minutes, they go off on everything and they never ask you anything about yourself. And so she walks away going, they don't give a crap about me. Yeah. And I'm like, you're right. They really don't.
But they remember you for being interested in them.
But they loved us because we sat there and looked them in the eyes and said, oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I like you because you let me talk about me.
It's just psychology 101, It's just, it's crazy. I mean, that's just the way it works.
The best thing was when I would have a customer at Mercedes, because I sold Mercedes, who was at some of the other dealerships and they had a bad experience. I'm like, sit down, tell me about it. What happened? Talk to me.
Oh, my God. They ate it up.
Yeah. So he got me the wrong car, and he didn't have it up there in time, and it wasn't washed. It was dirty, and they screwed up my financing.
Oh, and you go, gosh, okay, I'm going to make sure it's washed. Yeah. I'll make sure the gas is full.
Let me tell you something.
I'm going to give them some free rubber in the floorboard.
I still have a relationship with them today.
That's crazy. Well, and I think people like us, the two of us, we're so extroverted, we're so interested and curious that. But when we grab a customer, and that's been the interesting thing for me, is a customer I had in the clothing business is still a mortgage customer, you know, and then they were a car customer, and then they were a recycling garbage customer. I mean, it's like they stayed with me because I spent that time to build that relationship.
Yeah. The other thing that I picked up on, you told the story, and I wrote this down, do business with people who do business with you.
100%.
Yeah, and you were talking about the dentist and how he bought a house and didn't use you. And you're.
I was pissed.
But I wrote, you can't be pissed because someone doesn't know or remember what you did.
It's your fault.
Right. It's on you.
And to a certain degree. And then there's just plain out idiots out there, right? So there's a great book out called Givers and Takers by Adam Grant.
Yeah.
If you haven't read that book, you got to get that book. And Adam Grant, this woke me up on this. And so Adam says, you know, none of us like a taker.
Yeah.
We all like givers. But he said, there are givers that win and givers that lose. And so the scenario that I use when I'm talking to people is, you know, you're at the school and you're the PTA president and you got to set up the chairs because there's a meeting coming and you're running, you know, you're behind time and you're not going to get the chairs out. And you go, I got to get somebody to help me. And you think in your world, who can help me? And you say, oh, Steve can help me. He's self-employed. He's got time. He can run over here. He's close by. And you call me and you say, Beach, I need you over here to help me set the chairs up. And I go, hey, man, I love you. I'm on my way. I'm coming. So I go over there and I set up the chairs and I help you set up chairs. And you go, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I leave. And then I wonder, you know, months later, why you never called me for a mortgage, you know, and my heart's hurt and I'm going, golly. So Adam Grant says, that's a giver that loses. He said, if you want to be the giver that wins, he said, when you call and say, hey, I need some help on the chairs and you go to set those chairs up, you show up and then you got three high school boys with you and you say, hey, man, I'm here to help set up chairs. These boys are going to knock it out for you. Knock it out. And then you say, hey, when do you want me back? Because we're going to help you take them down too and everything. And you go, oh my God. And you go, wow.
Yeah.
And he said the wow's where the reciprocity is.
Yeah. You know, and you also talked about when you give a referral, you really want to make sure that person, that they connect, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, in B&I, which I'm a big part of, the event that was hosted yesterday was hosted by Joe Easley with Country Financial. I want to give them a big plug and shout out for doing the event. And you guys, you're working a lot with them now, right?
Yeah.
So... we have people who come on board on B&I and they want to immediately get referrals. They're not really, they have a lot to learn.
They're takers. Right?
And I did a whole education moment not too long ago. I said, you know, when you mention me in a comment thread on Facebook, is that a referral? And everybody's like, no. I said, okay, but it happens. And people pass them as referrals. Hey, I mentioned you on Nextdoor.
Yeah.
That's great. What's their number? 555-55-55. All right. Am I supposed to call that, or is it going to ring a movie studio somewhere in Culver City, California? Because that's the number that they use all the time on TV. You know, so I went through this whole exercise. Look, if you have low referrals, because B&I tracks everything, and you need to boost up your referrals, I said, Facebook is a great place. Nextdoor is a great place. Hell, you can look on Instagram and find referrals.
Yes.
I said, but you got to reach out to the people. Champion the person you're referring,
mm-hmm.
and then say, hey, here's their number. Oh, by the way, would you like for them to reach out?
Right.
I said, guess what? If they come back with a phone number, ding, 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 that's a referral.
Yeah.
Now they're warmed up.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. That's basically what you were saying yesterday, right?
I'm just saying that we are so focused as salespeople on going out and getting stuff. You know, that's the training. Go ask for the business. Go get the business.
Activity.
And what I'm trying to say is switch that. Throw it 180 degrees the other direction. Forget about if anybody sends you anything. Just go give, 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 give. Go look for people to give, to help, to do stuff for, to buy things for. I mean, it's just like you're bringing them into your family and you're just going to take care of them and you're going to provide them room and food and shelter. And I've just found that my life becomes more fun. And then I'm kind of and then one of the other big things for people like us is once you kind of go along and get some things figured out is trying to figure out that what's the real reason why I'm here? What's my real purpose?
Right.
And so for me, my purpose is to help people get from where they are to where they want to go.
Right.
And so because that's my purpose, I just accelerate. I just jump in 100%. So I'm just giving, 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 giving. And it's amazing for me. It's just the reciprocity is there.
Yeah. And it's amazing. You talk about, you know, asking for the business. But a lot of what you talked about yesterday, you know, not making it about your agenda and more about your assets is what you spoke about yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely 100% agree.
Yeah.
I teach Kyle here, who's a burgeoning salesperson selling our Octave product, which is RGB LED lighting, octavelighting.com. Check it out. It's great for car washes and outside applications. Great for rugged environments. Octavelighting.com.
And so you need to meet car wash people.
Oh, yeah. Car wash people.
So remind me, I'm going to give you my buddy Kurt. He owns a car wash.
We may have already talked to him by now, but hey, why not?
In Atlanta.
Because that's the other thing is that if somebody all of a sudden recommends you and you've already talked to them, it doesn't hurt to get that recommendation anyway.
So like that.
Like an echo chamber.
Yeah, like so that the one simple thing on the lights, that's like I was telling them yesterday, just take a category and let's say car wash. And today, everybody you see, I'll play these games with myself and I'll say, everybody I see today, I'm going to ask them who they know owns a car wash or who their favorite car wash is. And tomorrow I'm going to ask them about, you know, who do you know sells forklifts or something? Yeah. I'm just coming up with junk.
Yeah.
And it's amazing where it takes you.
Yeah, it is. You just and a lot of people don't think about asking.
No.
You
know? No.
And I always say the answer to the question you don't ask is no.
Right.
Why don't you just ask, you know? I had Ivan Meisner on my last podcast. I had another podcast before I started this one. And people were going, how did you get him? I asked him. I reached out to him on LinkedIn and said, hey, I'm part of your Williamson chapter here in Franklin, Tennessee. It's one of the biggest chapters in the region. Love to have you on my podcast. He replies with, color me cooperative. When do you want to do it? All right, let's make it happen. You just ask.
It's
amazing.
It.
What's the pain in doing that?
Well, there's no pain, but most people don't have. So what you've done and what I try to do is put myself in a position to where the ask has some meaning to the person I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of why I started. Well, that's kind of why I started doing a podcast and I started doing some people. And then I thought to myself, you know what? Because I've got this podcast that looks sexy and sounds cool. Now I can elevate who I'm going to go meet.
Right.
So I've given myself an excuse to go meet whoever I want to meet or call because I'm putting you on my podcast.
That's right.
Right. And so, I mean, all people have to do, I mean, there are podcast studios out there, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, all you got to do, they're love to have you, you know, so whatever
they
it is
feel
per
special.
Hour,
yeah.
They'll do all this crap and you can invite anybody you want, call the governor, you know, bring them in and you never know.
You never know. It's actually, I'm giving that a bullwhip, man, because that's exactly how I sell podcasting is you never know. You ask people, who do you want to meet?
Right.
You know, if it's a sales call, it's one thing. And a buddy of mine does this excellently. He does a podcast called Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. You'll hear my voice on the front end of it. He sells advertising and media for automotive dealerships and agencies.
Right.
So he invites all the people, all the decision makers on his podcast. I'm like, dude, you're making connections. That is a product, a byproduct of having your podcast.
So that's kind of the big thing I've noticed recently that I'm trying to talk to people about is like my son came in the mortgage business with me. And he came in from a totally different business. And so, you know, when you're young in a business, you don't have the product knowledge. If you don't have product knowledge, you're hesitant to go out and sell, right?
Right.
It's kind of like, I can't go till I have my business card kind of thing, which is so stupid. But anyway, so I started trying to figure out how can I make that work for him?
Like cold
and then
calling?
He started asking me questions and stuff about, you know, Dad, how's this work? Or how's that work? Or how do we do that? And so I tell new people, I said, all you got to do is just write down those questions and then just type them out and put them on Facebook or do a little video or whatever. Do something, and then people start going, oh, he knows about that. Oh, he knows about that. And after you do that for about 6 months, people think you're a daggum expert.
Yeah.
And you're really not. You were trying to figure it out yourself. And then once you got the answer, you put it out to other people, because if you don't know, they don't know too, right? So one of the best ways to really grow your business is to put out information to educate your customer. And it's so hard to do when you're sitting inside the shop because it's so obvious to you. And you don't realize that it's not obvious to everybody else.
There's also the notion that there's a mental block to, I don't want to come off like I'm the expert when I'm not. You know, fake it till you make it kind of notion. I mean, the one thing you did bring up yesterday was the cold calling. And a lot of people hate cold calling.
Everybody hates cold calling.
They're afraid of it.
Yeah. You're an idiot if you like cold calling.
I don't know if people like it, but I teach a methodology. And I used it in the car business. I've used it doing what I do. I'm teaching Kyle here how to do it, reaching out to car washes. I said, well, if you reached out to everybody that we've had conversations with and everything's in order, then you got to start. I said, dude, 50 to 80 contacts a day, whether it's email, text, or phone. I don't care what you do. He's like, well, how do I do a cold call? I said, okay, here's a little method that may work for you. Here's the structure, the fundamentals of it. Make it your own. You got to figure out your voice in it, which is sales fundamentals as well.
Right.
I said, first thing you get them on the phone is, look, this is a cold call. I don't like making them. You don't like getting them.
Brilliant.
All right?
Brilliant.
Kind of, you know, with that, is that fair to say right now? But we know we got to do them.
Yeah.
All right? You know you got to do them for your business in a sense. I got to do them for my business. Is that fair?
Well, and that's exactly the way I used to do it. And then I got into this philosophy of, you know what? I'm going to pick who I want to meet.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to find ways to get to that person. We talked about that yesterday, you know, and there's ways to get to people. And like I call it, just go be an FBI agent. If you know that if you know there's a car wash there, then do a little research, figure out who owns a car wash. Jim Smith owns a car wash. Then go to Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and find out who knows Jim Smith, and then call them and get them to introduce you to Jim Smith, and bam, you're there. It takes longer to get there, but when you get there, it's warmer.
Yeah. I teach Kyle, I say, you know, the person answering the phone is typically, you know, probably a college kid or somebody like that, but they're going to act as kind of like a gatekeeper.
Right.
And I said, and a lot of voiceover people had asked me about this, how do I get past the gatekeeper for these production houses and stuff? And I say, you warm up the gatekeeper. You make them like you. You make them an advocate. And I learned this from Rich Redmond, who's, I do his podcast, The Rich Redmond Show, richredmondshow.com. he did this in his career, moving up with drumming here in Nashville and landing a gig with the biggest artist in country music right now. But he says everybody wants to move up, right?
Who's even the biggest girl. Artist in country music right now?
I would say it's Aldean, Jason Aldean.
Really?
And that's who he plays for.
From Georgia.
Yeah, from Georgia, man.
You know, all the cool people in Nashville are from Georgia.
They really are, you know what I mean? I don't know if that's Georgian. That's more of a South Carolina. Kind of rolls off your tongue like a syrup.
There's a bunch of Georgia guys up here.
There is. They all come here because they're good musicians.
Big songwriters up here.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I had to throw that in.
But he talked about, look, learn their name. I said, Kyle, the best thing you can do is learn their name. Use their name. It's music to their ears.
Oh.
I said, and ask about them. Ask what they're doing. What do you do there?
Yeah.
How do you like it? What do you like? I said, be rabidly curious about what they do. I said, because they get a lot of phone calls from different vendors. And if they got to pass on a message to whoever is the decision maker who does all the things with the facility, they're going to say, hey, you got a bunch of messages, but there was this one guy, Kyle, who he seemed really cool and his product is really cool. You should probably call him back. I said, you make them a flaming advocate of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get into the pocket of the decision maker.
Yeah. And then I think a piece that we kind of skip over a lot of times is, how passionate are you about what you're selling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that, too.
Because, you know, if you got that passion, then you're knocking more doors than if you're not passionate about
it. Yeah. You need this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then you become a consultant.
Yeah.
Not a salesperson.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, there's a guy that wrote a book called, what was it? Something like High Dollar Sales or something like that. God, what is it? Oh, man, I can't think of it. Anyway, you know, it dawned on me after reading that book that we really if you when you get longer in the tooth in your in what you're doing, then you really just kind of go in with this approach that says, hey, if you want to continue in business and you want to go to where all the big boys are going, this is what you got to do, and I'm going to show you how to get there.
Yeah,
kind of thing. God dang it!
What's it's funny because a lot of the guys out there, the influencers, the gurus, if you will, they all have their way of doing it, and the good ones will tell you, "Hey, here, this is the way I do it, and the way that works for me. It's not the only way. You got to watch the ones that say, no, this is the only way."
Right,
it's like, dude. In the car business, they used to say, you sell a car this way. And my general manager, he says, no, there's 1,001 ways to skin a cat, dude. You could find your way. There are fundamentals. There are things that kind of little mileposts. Yeah.
Challenge yourselves, the name of that book. Have you read that book?
I have not. I'm going
to
write it.
Challenge your customer to grow their business in the right direction. I mean, basically, if I'm in the mortgage business and I'm reading mortgageology stuff, right, and I'm tracking my industry and I know what's going on, and I'm sitting there with a dude and he's like wanting to do this, and I'm like, let me challenge you to think about it in a different way.
Right.
You know, here's why I think you need to think about that. And a lot of times we don't do that.
Really?
Yeah, wow. And so he was making the point that you just don't go in and go, all right, you want this? I got this. And then you're in a battle for who's got the cheapest product. He's right. Saying, get out of that battle. Go in there and say, hey, I know we can battle for this, but really people aren't doing desktops anymore. They're doing laptops. And let me talk to you about what's happening in the future, and you want to get up on the curve of that and go in that direction kind of thing.
Right.
You know, so you want to challenge your customer to go think about stuff different.
Right. Got a lot of activity happening out in the hallway. Yeah, but with that being said, we're gonna, I know things are, I have a 9 o'clock coming up. Steve. What's your problem? You got to groove to the music for a while, though.
I love music, man. That's cool.
You know those voices are actually people here in the building?
Really?
That sing that? Yeah. It's crazy. What are some of the... You know, everybody's got something going on in their business. I know you've got something that keeps you up at night. What are you doing with?
Let's see. You know, my problem right now is getting back out post-COVID and getting the speaking business going again. And some of that's, you know, I can affect and some of it I can't, right? Companies got to get more comfortable with having people. I draw off the audience. I don't, you know, I did some Zoom and stuff. And it's just not the same when you're looking into a screen versus looking at people. And so I'm excited about trying to find out who are the people out there in the marketplace that are insurance companies, stockbrokers, real estate guys, those kind of folks that are their salespeople are concentrated in doing business in their local community, and I want to get in front of those people and try to help them. You know,
are you a part of a representation at all or speaker bureaus, anything like that? No.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one thing that I'm on, but they never got me a gig. They never promoted me. I pretty much have gotten it all on my own.
And it's funny when you come into the talent realm, like acting, voiceover, like what I do. Yeah, you're better off just getting your own stuff.
So, you know, a guy told me one time, I was writing a book, and I was like, man, when you write a book, you have these visions that your book's going to be big, right? Because you think it's cool. And then one guy told me one time, you know, he said, man, I worked in the book business. Let me just tell you how it works. You know, and you'll understand this. And he says, you know, they're not really buying what you're writing.
Yeah.
They're buying who knows you. Right. If Obama writes a book, they know they're going to sell 45 billion books. Right. Yeah. Steve Beacham writes a book. Who's going to buy Steve Beacham's book? Right. Who knows Steve Beacham? He said, so they're basically doing book contracts based on how many books they're going to sell. And they sell books based on how many people you know or who knows you. He said, so you're not going to get a book deal. I mean, you're not. They're just not nobody. I mean, you've got it's like a one hit. You know, number one song on the radio, and you come out of nowhere with a one-hit song. It just doesn't happen very often, right?
Reggie Hamm, who was on one of the first episodes of this podcast, he described. He's a songwriter, and he's written several hits. He says, but writing a number one is like jumping off the space station and landing in a shot glass in somebody's backyard or something like that.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, number one bestseller and stuff like that. But anyway, so it just made me realize really what I got to do is I got to go out and I got to promote what it is I'm doing and hope some people buy some books. And so I had to change my whole philosophy. Hey, I'm not going to be this superstar. What I'm going to be is I'm just going to be this guy that's just chucking it out day to day, really trying to help, you know, that person in front of me, try to help them get better. And at the end of the day, I'm going to sleep a lot better. And so that's just kind of what I do.
See, the whole getting it out every day for me is exhausting. You know, and I know a lot of people that, like Rich, who I was telling you about before, he's like, oh, the social media platform, it just gets overwhelming after a while.
Right.
So, I mean, I know you have a system that you just simply do a little, you're walking every day, you do an inspirational message, you just keep it simple, right?
Well, and people resonate. Yeah, but to keep those peaks and valleys out of your business, you've got to come up with consistent stuff you do to keep your name out there, right? So like you do in this podcast, that's a consistent piece for you, you know? And then, so I put a little podcast together and I do it once a month, and then I post on Facebook every day, but I don't read the Facebook. I just post on it. Let somebody else read it.
Yeah.
And then I post on Instagram, and I just do it to see if it'll keep my name out there. And I just try to get these... I think you need marketing habits.
Yeah.
Just like you get up every morning and brush your teeth, there's something you got to do for marketing for your business, and it has to be all the time.
Yeah, every day putting something out, because like you were talking about, it's advertising on ESPN.
Is that awesome?
Although I will say, Facebook seems to be changing up their algorithms, because every time I put out something about the podcast that could help somebody, it's like friggin' crickets, okay?
Really?
Oh, man, every time. I've got almost 5,000 friends.
Yeah.
And, you know... quote, friends. I put out something yesterday. I put up like a revisit, a throwback. You inspired me to actually put it up while you were speaking. I grabbed a clip from one of my previous episodes, and I said, hey, almost to 70 episodes, man, what a milestone. Let's throw back to Edward Fox when he was talking about, should your kids be learning about sales and selling? What do you guys think? Do you teach your kids about sales? And I asked the question. Freaking crickets, man.
Really?
On Facebook. But I put up a picture of me and my wife or the kids or anything like that.
Boom.
Hey, boom. Freaking comments, likes, all that stuff.
Well, okay. You need to do that. And then bury the podcast under it.
I guess so. But I mean, you know, nobody
wants to. Okay,
but I'm thinking to myself, maybe people just think I'm an idiot or something.
But you know as well as I do from a marketing standpoint, you know, what we did 10 years ago is not working today necessarily.
That's
right?
True.
Everybody was doing radio and TV and direct mail and stuff like that, or 20 years ago. And so things evolve. So maybe we evolve off of Facebook and we go somewhere else. You know, I don't know. Like right now I'm testing texting. So I had a guy come to me. It's a good friend of mine. And he said, you know, 80% of the texts get read. You know, 25% of your emails get read. Well, I remember when I first did the email newsletter thing, and people would like email me back, hey, you low rent piece of scum, don't you ever send me anything again. I'll burn your house down. I'm like, oh, you know, and you weren't supposed to do that, you know. And I remember going through all that, and then the guy that was kind of coaching me, he's like, dude, you sent out 5,000 emails and two people hate you. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Just stay with it. And now that's become one of my best things. And so now I'm going through that same phase with texting people. So I have a service, and so this text comes and says, hey, this is Steve, I'd like to send you a text. And everybody's calling me, and they're texting me back, and they're going, hey, man, you've been spammed. This is not your phone number, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, it's a sir. So I would say the texting guys come back to me and said, dude, we've never had anybody have this many people not push stop.
Wow.
I said, well, how many is that? He's like, you've got like 30 or 40% of your people are going, yes, send me crap.
Nice.
And he thinks that's good.
Yeah,
you know?
That's very good.
And I'm thinking in my mind, God, 70 people don't like me. They don't want my stuff. Anyway, so I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to use it right now for fun. You know, so like I'm doing these little concerts in my town. So one just went out this morning. Hey, we got a concert tonight, 8 to 10. It's free. Come bring your lounge chair. So it's kind of like I'm not pushing anything about mortgages or speaking or anything. Yeah. It's just fun stuff. I'm going to test it out for a while. But that's a new place for me. Doing a podcast is new for me.
Yeah.
And some of the old things I used to do, I'm not doing anymore.
Well, there's a similarity. Like, you know, like you're saying, as long as people align you with the category you're in, that's all that matters. You know, you don't have to be out there talking about it all the time. One of the other podcasts that I produce, the Brian Covey Show, briancovey.com, check him out. Brian Covey Show. He is the regional VP for Loan Depot here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he's more, he just wants to bring on business people and influencers on his podcast. It's less about, you know, hey, we need to sell you a mortgage, but more about, hey, let's share some information and help you learn, help you grow. His whole impetus when we started talking was getting people recruited onto his team.
Right.
That's taken care of because like attracts like, and people just want to work for him because they like him.
He's just putting something out.
Yeah, that's it.
There's energy. The energy's there, and it just creates more energy.
The thing, Steve, is I get that. I got to do it better and more. That's my problem. Let's talk about my problem. But, I mean, your problem is just figuring out more gigs and stuff like that, bookings.
Yeah. But it's the same marketing problem as anything else, yeah. Right? How's a guy in Austin, Texas going to hire me to come speak in his group? He doesn't even know I exist.
Right, right.
So I got to figure out ways. So it's really interesting that in the mortgage business, my focus is, 20-mile radius.
Yeah.
But in the speaking business, worldwide.
Worldwide, basically. Absolutely.
Right? So those are two different ways to market. And it's funny because I was so involved in all the little local stuff, and I still am, but I'm trying to get less focused in local and trying to get more focused on how I can reach people nationally.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of why I started to do the podcast thing. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll take off.
Do you share clips of your speeches and little slivers of what you do?
Starting to do that. Hired a guy, went into a really nice studio, got some stuff going. So, I'm trying to do all that. I'm spending money on it. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm just trying, but I still got to push it out to the right people.
Yeah. I mean, I got a guy, again, Rich does speaking. He does the Crash Course for Success, and CRASH is an acronym. Commitment, Relationship, Attitude, Skill, and Hunger. And those are the tenets that got him to where he is.
Right.
So I said, dude, just share the entire speech online. I can't do that. Why would people hire me? Dude, Vaynerchuk, how many speeches of Vaynerchuk's is online that you can watch?
People are so stupid when it comes to that.
It really is. I mean, I'm like, dude, just share it. If you speak to a large audience, put it up there. Pull little clips out of it. Make it like a podcast and share little clips out of it. Points you can make,
Yeah. Give the information away.
Right. Absolutely, man.
Just give it away.
Dude, we gotta keep on revisiting this thing. Every time you're in town, let's have you on and
I'll
have
be here conversations.
Tomorrow. No, I'm just we gotta keep in touch because you and I think a lot alike.
I love it, man. Love what you're doing, and it's special.
So thank you, sir.
Keep it up, buddy.
I hope other people think it's special.
I'm gonna need you. To help me on some stuff. So I'll contact you offline. Okay. We'll try to.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Absolutely.
All right.
I think I could be able to help you.
Groovy.
Yeah, buddy. So anyway, check him out, stevebeacham.com. You'll find all the social media links there if you want to follow him. I suggest following him. I mean, I meet a lot of people in my day to day, and Steve blew me away yesterday. So for what it's worth, check him out, stevebeacham.com. Of course, check us out, whatsyourproblempodcast.com. If you have anybody that you think would be a good guest for us, if you have a question, reach out to us. Subscribe, rate, review, like, all that stuff. You can find it at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Steve, thank you again for coming
out, buddy. Loved it, brother. Thank you.